And I would like to read with you from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Read it, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now come over, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. We'll read, please, at verse 3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.'" Now just a short reading, please. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, a portion rather familiar to many of us. We'll read from verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or rather himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." And so in some measure, in this portion of the Word of God, we have elevating truth as well that lifts us up to the place that we have been hearing about, that place of glory with our blessed Lord. There's rather a different thought upon my mind this afternoon, and that's why rather loath to rise, because we would not detract in any way from what we have been hearing and enjoying concerning the position of believers today. But what has been concerning me for a while is that there are many of God's dear people, and perhaps this is just a simple practical word that might be a help to us, there are many of God's dear people that feel that their service is more or less terminated because there has been something come into their life that has caused them to grieve or has caused them to step aside as far as their service for God is concerned. And they feel that God cannot use them perhaps any further. I shall never forget being in a conference gathering on Prince Edward Island, their large yearly conference there. A number of years ago, and my dear mother and father, now home in the glory, were there present. And I recall that as I spoke that afternoon, I noticed the tears running down the cheeks of my dear mother. Well, I know that mothers have a soft spot for their sons. But after the meeting, I went to my father. I said, Dad, I said, what was the trouble? What was bothering Mom? Well, he said, you know, your mother and I, of course, are older. And he said, your mother feels that because she's not in a position now to entertain like she did, your mother isn't able to do the things that once she was able to do to be a help to the people of God in the assembly. She gets discouraged, and she even gets sometimes so low that she wonders if she's really saved at all. So I had to go to my dear mother and put my arm around her, and I said, Mom, I said, you've had many years of service for God. And I said, even in your age, you're able to continue in service for God, even though you cannot do the practical things that once you did that so often characterize our dear sisters in their care for one another. And I hope that I was a little help anyhow in trying to explain to my dear mother that God still had a usefulness for her until the time that he would take her home to glory. Now I believe that God has a purpose in the life of every believer, young believer and older believer. And even though there are times in our experience when we get away from God, times in our experience when we are tripped up, I believe when there is that proper restoration to God, when there is that condition that has been restored again in our relationship with the Lord, and it's done in a proper manner, there can be service for God that is acceptable in our lives until the Lord returns. We have read here about marred vessels. I've sometimes thought about the vessels that we read about in the Word of God, and I'm not going to take time on those. You remember the Apostle Paul was spoken of as a chosen vessel. God had a special service for the dear Apostle Paul. And in some of the things we've been hearing today, the revelations that the dear Apostle received from God have been a blessing to the people of God ever since. And of course, even today, have brought our thoughts heavenward toward the man who sits in the glory exalted at God's right hand, a chosen vessel. We read about vessels that are clean and sanctified when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, that we should know how to possess our vessel unto sanctification. And I believe it's very important, that lesson that we learn, that not only has the ransom price been paid for our precious souls, but the ransom price has been paid for our bodies and our spirits as well. And though our bodies are not yet redeemed, that fullness is to come in a day very soon when we hear the shout and we're caught up to be with and like our blessed Lord. Yet it is our responsibility to see that that vessel is clean and sanctified and set apart for God. And we're living in a day and age, as we tried to explain a little to young people the other night. We're living in a day when it's very difficult for young believers to maintain a pure life before God. But, beloved, it's only a very brief period of time before we're going to hear the shout and we'll be at home with the blessed man who died for us on Calvary. May God help us to maintain clean vessels in a world of defilement that's around us every turn of the way. We read of vessels, or I think of vessels that have been conquered, vessels that are meet for His use. Because God has a usefulness for everyone, for every believer. Whether it's a young believer just beginning in their life for God, or whether it's an older believer, God has something useful for you to perform, a service that we must seek to do for God. But how often God allows things to come into our lives, and the vessel is marred. The vessel seems to be broken. And we could look at many things that have been broken in the Word of God, because often God allows the breaking that He might bring forth blessing. You remember, it always appealed to me that God allowed Peter's net to be broken. And the reason that Peter's net was broken was that that man might be strengthened and restored, that he might realize that the one who was there speaking to him from the shore was none other than his blessed Lord. You remember Mary's box was broken there in John chapter 12, that worship might be expressed to the man that she loved, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have oftentimes seen vessels broken that more worship might be brought forth to the man of Calvary. You remember how Gideon's pitchers were broken back in the book of Judges chapter 7. And when those vessels were broken, why, the light shone out. And I believe that sometimes God allows vessels to be broken that testimony might shine forth. And often it's when men and women come into difficult circumstances in their Christian life that their testimony begins to expand and to flow out, and they can be a help to others. One of the things that always appealed to me was that Pharisee's roof that was broken up in order that a man might be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that those religious Pharisees, as they stood there that day, and the dust was flying and the roof was being broken up above their heads, I'm sure a lot of them weren't very pleased with what was going on. But that roof was broken up in order that a soul might be brought to the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while I don't wish any difficulty in the life of any believer, particularly at this particular time, yet if there's things have to be done that would help us to bring souls to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one who can meet their need. We've been reminded that the work of salvation, that the work of life-giving, comes from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. While we count it a tremendous privilege to be involved in any work that God would do, we have to recognize that it's God that does the work. And we would like to get dear souls to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But I'm thinking here, well, there's several things with regard to the potter. I'm thinking of the potter's field and its purchase. I'm thinking of the potter's house and its place. I'm thinking of the potter's hand and the purpose of the potter. I'm thinking of the potter's wheel and the process that often believers are made to pass through. I think of the potter's field. That's the reason I read from Matthew chapter 27. Because here was a piece of ground. It was called the potter's field. It was evidently the place where clay was taken from in order that those vessels might be made. Purchased by the very price that they put upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's called the price of blood. And I like to equate this with the treasure in the field our brother Murphy was referring to in the Bible reading this morning, and how that field was purchased by the price of blood. And in order that this world might have a ransom paid for it and provision made that every individual might have the opportunity of obtaining the redemption that is found in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ must shed his precious blood upon Calvary and pay that price of our redemption in drops of precious blood. And all the clay was useless until it was retrieved by the potter for the use that he had for it. And there was none of us that were any use for God until the moment came when we discovered the work of Christ for our souls, and we were retrieved from a world that was useless as far as anything for God is concerned, and taken out of the world and made part of the body of Christ and put in a place where we can be useful for God. And thank God that price was paid that you and I might be brought out of a corrupt, sinful, hell-bound world and put on the road to glory and made a vessel that God can use for his own self in a little while until he comes. I think of the potter's house. This was the place that Jeremiah went, to the potter's house. The Lord told him to go to the potter's house. And I sometimes think that the potter's house, this place could be the sphere of God's dealings with a soul anywhere. But perhaps you'll allow me to apply it more specifically to the place that he has chosen to put his name, the Assembly of God. Because I believe that in order to be of the usefulness that God would desire, he would have us to be in the place where his name is honored and where he's given his rightful place in the midst of his people. There's a great deal of service being done, so-called service for God today in the evangelical world around us. And it's sometimes a little awkward just to point out to some believers that while there's activity for God and many other areas, the area that is really precious to the heart of God is that place where God finds his people outside the camps of earth and gathered to the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in a particular way, service for God can only be most acceptable to him when we are in that place where God would have us to be. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here this afternoon and you've been occupied perhaps dallying with the evangelical world around, and there's many things to appeal. In the evangelical world, the way they do things, their entertainment, and all the rest that would appeal to people. But I want to say that in the sight of God, the most precious thing to him is a believer who first of all has understood the truth of worship and being in the place where God would have him to be, and in a full clearer understanding of the mind of God concerning his people. And in that place, we can work out with the gospel and spread the word of God to others round about us. I believe it's the place where every saint that knows and loves the Lord should be. If you're not part of God's assembly, if you have not learned your place outside the camps of earth and outside the religious world and gathered simply to that precious name where the Lord alone is honored in the midst of His people, then I would advise you to get to your book and find out where God would have you to be. Because it's a precious place to be gathered with God's saints. Some of my brethren have perhaps been in the assembly longer than I have, but for some 45 years we've enjoyed the fellowship of God's assembly, and I'll never forget, it stands out vividly in my mind today, the first time I sat down with the saints of God in the Brock Avenue Gospel Hall in the city of Toronto, Ontario. I want to tell you that was a thrilling experience. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 180 to 200 believers gathered together, and I used to sit back and I would look at that company, and in my elementary thoughts, they just seemed like a band of holy angels. Wonderful people. And I longed to be in the midst. I longed to be with them. When I recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the midst of these people. And I'll never forget sitting down the first time. I suppose there was some 15 or 20 young men, some a little older than I was, sitting in the front row so close, so many in the assembly at that time, that the feet of those young men was practically touching the table in the midst of the gathered company. And I sat there, and I want to tell you, I thought this is just a little bit of heaven. When I heard those dear brethren getting up to give thanks to God for His Son, many a time we've had the privilege of sitting down with a new company of believers away up on the lonely coasts of Newfoundland or Labrador, and you sit down with those humble fishermen who gather together around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't the privileges that most of you, dear brethren and sisters, have here, of sitting and listening to elevating truth like we've been hearing today. But simple men who have found Christ as their Savior, and they sit around those emblems and with tears running down their cheeks rise to give humble, simple praise to God for His Son. I want to tell you, friend, we appreciate God's assembly. We marvel when we see men who have gathered to His name, and they love the place where His honor dwells. Think for a moment of the potter's hand, because connected with the potter's hand are the purposes of God. The potter's purpose is to form a vessel, and his hands are used for that purpose. God has a purpose for you, dear believer, young believer, just beginning in your Christian experience. God wants to mold a vessel that will be useful for Him. First and foremost, I suppose, as we were reminded from Romans chapter 8, it's that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. What He wants to make is a vessel that is close akin to the man who is glorified at God's right hand. He wants to bring forth in you the very image of the man of Calvary. And it should be my desire to be more like our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord in His hand takes that vessel and He is molding it for His own use and making it like unto Himself, something happens. Nothing wrong with the potter's hand. That hand works in perfection. We don't always understand the dealings of the hands of God. But usually, and in the case, of course, that I'm speaking of always, the trouble is not with the potter's hand. Because those are perfect hands and God knows what He is doing in the case of every believer. The trouble is with the clay. Sometimes there's clay that has been taken from the field, but it's just not as pliable as it should be. It needs a softening process. And because it's not pliable, it crumbles in the hand of the potter, and it has to be prepared for usefulness. Perhaps not obedient to the word of God. We were noticing a little on Saturday of the Lordship of Christ, and maybe there's just not that willingness to bow to the word of God in all that the Lord would bring before us. And so the vessel gets marred. Perhaps it's some foreign substance that has got into that clay. Maybe some little worldliness that's got into your life, or some little idol that you have got engaged with, and it's taking your time and your attention, and you're losing sight of the fact that God has you here for greater things than these idols of earth and from these worldly things that surround us and would take up our time and attention. And as God would mold that vessel, these foreign substances come in and they spoil the clay in the hands of the potter. And the vessel is marred. Maybe it's some of those things that characterized us, that covetousness, that temper, that pride, those things that so often come into our experience and interfere with the working of God as He would seek to mold a vessel for Himself. You say, why does God allow us things like this to happen in our lives? Why is there difficulty? Why are there problems? Why is it that, you know, young believers sometimes think when they get saved that it's just going to be a rosy pathway home to heaven? No, God has some difficult lessons for all of us to learn, and we're never out of God's school. Why does God allow these things to happen in our lives? I believe that God wants to make a vessel that is for His use. And if there are foreign substances there that need to be removed, or if there is clay that is not pliable in the potter's hand, then God has to deal with us. And I am convinced of this, that every detail of a believer's life has some purpose in it, that God is trying to make that a vessel for His honor and for His glory. I often refer when I'm preaching the gospel to the fact that I believe that the experiences of an unbeliever are very similar, because God is wanting people to understand, as the Spirit of God deals with them. God allows things to happen in their life to stop them on their rush downward to hell. But God deals with believers that He might bring them back to Himself, and that He might remake that vessel for His own honor and for His own glory. There needs to be that pliability about us. There needs to be that yieldingness to the designs of God by the Holy Spirit to conform us to His Son. Oh, when you think of what He accomplished for us at Calvary, beloved, surely we should be thankful when God allows things to come into our experience that will draw us closer and closer to Himself. We could enumerate many vessels that we believe have been useful for God, and they've got off track, dear saints of God, and we wonder why God allows these things to happen in their lives. But when there is that proper restoration to God, there can be a regained usefulness for God. And I want you to understand that this afternoon, even though you may feel, because of circumstances, your life is sort of washed up as far as usefulness for God, God wants to make a vessel, another vessel for His use. And this vessel that was marred in the hands of the potter, He said, so He made it again, another vessel has seemed good unto Him. And God is able to remake that vessel that has been marred in His hand. What about the process? He puts that clay upon the potter's wheel, and I understand that the potter's wheel That large wheel that he puts the clay upon has another wheel underneath, in the old days at least. And by pedal or other means, the lower wheel is turned, and the upper wheel turns because it's lodged upon it. He speaks about the wheels here more than one. And I'm convinced that it's those circumstances, or at least I think of it as those circumstances in our lives that God is using. Not always one circumstance, but many circumstances in the life of a believer. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's financial loss. Sometimes it's accidents. But everything in our lives working in the hand of God to bring us more into conformity to His blessed Son. Oh, there are lessons that God wants us to learn. You remember the great lessons that He wanted Israel to learn as they wandered through the wilderness journey. He wanted them to learn themselves with all their faults and their failures and their frailty. He wanted them to learn that God was their all-sufficiency. And God wants you and I to learn that He is the all-sufficient one in all the faults and failures that we have. He's the one that is able to take the vessel and make it again a vessel for His own glory. And though the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, thank God the vessel was remade. Another vessel that would be useful for Himself. Brother God, Sister, God has a work for you to do. But He wants you in the proper process to get back to Himself and get in that place where you can be used of God. I think of some of the marred vessels in the Word of God. We haven't time to go into these various individuals. I think of a woman who led the song of the sisters there after they passed through the Red Sea. Miriam took up that song and led those dear women as they sang the song of victory. My, it was lovely to see that woman there. I know you may think that was not just consistent with what we were noticing this morning, but that was back in the Old Testament, and God was using her to lead the song among the women, at least in that day. And isn't it sad that not very long the voice that was raised in the song of victory was the voice that was raised murmuring against her brother Moses and held up the camp for so long, for a week, before they could proceed. Miriam, by evil speaking, that vessel was marred. But there came a time when the vessel was restored and remade and put back in a place of usefulness for God. You can't help but think of a man like Peter. Somebody has said there were four characteristics of Peter. Peter was bold, and we're all acquainted with the boldness that Peter seemed to have on so many occasions. And Peter was told, the Lord told Peter exactly what would happen and what was in his heart, though Peter didn't understand it. Peter was told. Peter was cold. You know what ended up like this? Peter was gold. That vessel that seemed to be marred and whose name sometimes is still brought up before us. Thank God, dear Peter, on the bank, on the shore that day, at that little fireside, got restored to his Lord. And we all know what Peter has done for us in the epistles that he has written, and in the life that he lived after that proved that he was a vessel that could be used of God. I know there are some circumstances when sin comes into the life that can sometimes mar into the future the life of a believer and make it impossible for him to rise to the heights that once he did. But I believe this, that with proper restoration to God, a saint of God, no matter what has happened in their experience, restored by improper channels to the man who died on Calvary, restored to God, can be used again for God in His service. Barnabas, that dear man, his vessel seemed to be marred by an unyielding spirit. There came a time when he separated from the dear apostle, not willing to yield to superior discernment. And how easy it is for our vessels to be marred. Oh, we could go on with one man after another, individuals in the Word of God. But the point that I want to make this afternoon as I sit down is the fact that if there has been that thing come into your life that has made you wonder if ever again you can be useful for God, you get back to the Lord in the proper way, through the proper channels, get into the presence of God, get right with your God, and learn that the Lord can remake that vessel and use it for His glory. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And I know sometimes we do misapply that verse, perhaps in a measure, but I do believe that every circumstance in the life of a believer is calculated to bring us into conformity to the person of Christ until that time when we're all redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, and we're caught up to be with Himself. May the Lord preserve us and help us in a little while until He comes, for His name's sake.